Eric McKean was once quoted as saying, "Conferences are like little mental vacations, a chance to go visit an interesting place for a couple of days and come back rested and refreshed with new ideas and perspectives." On this episode of the IU for Division 3 podcast, we would like to highlight a select group of students that recently attended the National Society of American Foresters Convention in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have the pleasure of knowing these students on a personal basis, as they are fellow students of mine here in the College of Forestry at Oregon State University. I'll let them introduce themselves in a moment, but before that, I want to highlight what today's episode will cover. In my first interview with Woodham Chung, we mentioned that this podcast was not only about researchers and professors, but students and their perspectives and inputs in forest engineering and management as well. Today we'll focus on just that, what the students gathered from the National Convention, as well as their thoughts on forestry now and in the future. So, without further ado, my guests for today.
Hello, my name is Ken Dryden. I am a junior in forest engineering.
And my name is Jesse Holt, and I'm a graduating senior in forest management with an option in GIS.
My name is Jessica Kessinger. I'm in my fifth year in forest engineering and international studies.
Welcome, guys, and thanks for being on the show. If I can just start by getting your opinions on the overall convention, what did you think?
I had a great time attending the National Convention. I wanted to attend the convention to work on professional networking skills while representing the College of Forestry in a positive manner. I was also interested in gaining perspective into the forest industry in other parts of the U.S. I really enjoyed the urban forestry field tour. When thinking about forestry, I never put much thought into the aspect of urban forestry. I thought it was really cool to get a first-hand look into the planning and management involved with ensuring trees and shrubs are living in harmony with the urban environment.
At the convention in Baton Rouge, I found my time management skills being tested. The trip offered many educational activities at the convention hall and surrounding areas. I attended multiple information sessions, one that happened to be right up my alley, biomass. I was a biomass research assistant under Temesgen Halimarian for a summer where I collected data for the forest inventory analysis. The information sessions highlighted on the importance of biomass in our forests, calculations and errors, as well as sampling techniques. The part that I felt was most beneficial, or where I made the most headway towards my professional career in forestry, was at the alumni dinner. I met with professionals in my field with similar degrees that also shared similar desires. I felt right at home. The convention hall sometimes got a little hectic, so it was nice to sit down in a formal setting and still feel relaxed. This truly was a wonderful experience that will lead to many opportunities in the future.
For me, I appreciated the stark differences in forest type and management that was so apparent in Louisiana. There is no elevation, and the opportunities that they have to burn so frequently are strikingly different than in Oregon. They are actually meeting their targets of burning every 2 to 10 years.
Being that all of us here are almost done with our undergraduate degrees and have seen the majority of our college education, I want to discuss what got you all started in forestry and how your view has changed since being in college. Jesse?
Well, Preston, I first started off as a young sociologist, trying to learn about how societies and people interact. I found out about midway through my sophomore year that wasn't for me. Before I went through with the efforts involved in a degree change, I consulted with my father first. Even from a very young age, I remember him saying, "I don't care, Jesse, what you get a degree in, just as long as you have one. It'll open so many doors for your future." I felt such a pull towards forestry, I prolonged my time at OSU in order to get an opportunity to learn in a field I'm so passionate about. Now, with 3 months' work experience and participation in a countless number of outdoor labs, I haven't looked back once. This trip only further instilled my already solid commitment towards a lifelong career in forestry and the great outdoors.
Very neat. Jessica?
First, I like the idea of being a park ranger and the opportunity to teach others about the environment. However, I quickly realized the wide subjects covered in the forestry sector. I love how forestry is applied science and math. I think it was also solidified by my experience in the coastal western Oregon forest, where my family owns the land. There, I learned to appreciate the forest and the many ways humans can utilize the landscape. My views have changed significantly in the last 4 years because of the amount of information of the complexity that managing forests include. I am more able to critically look at the landscape and consider the management objectives with the limitations present.
Ken?
I grew up with an interest in nature and the outdoors. I also have a love-hate relationship with math and problem-solving. With little work, I found forest engineering here at OSU, which melds both together. Now that I'm getting closer to being done with my degree, I have a better understanding of the complexity of forest operations and what it takes to provide timber as an economic resource in a sustainable manner.
So I guess it's only fair that I share too. I'm the fourth generation of my family to pursue a career in the woods. My great-grandfather operated his own small sawmill in Missouri in the early 20th century, and my grandfather and father drove log trucks here in western Oregon. I've actually had the opportunity to work on the same land that my dad and grandpa hauled logs off of over 25 years ago as an intern early in my professional career. So thanks for sharing, everybody. Our backgrounds, as is typical with many students in forestry, are vastly different. Are any of you thinking about graduate school?
If I were to seek higher education, such as a master's program or PhD, it would be a business or marketing degree. There's always an application for business. As of now, I'm going to hold off on more schooling.
That's a pretty common thing seen here in forestry, Jesse. A lot of people like to go back for their master's or PhD in business or marketing.
I would like to attend graduate school, although I may want to work for a while after school and become a professional engineer as well as get my public land surveyor license. I am eager to get out and work in the field, but I am also looking into my options for graduate opportunities in geomatics engineering.
Whoa, geomatics engineering? Please elaborate, Ken.
Sure. Geomatics engineers manage global geospatial resources and infrastructure. They design, develop, and operate systems for collecting, analyzing, and utilizing geospatial information about the land, infrastructure, the oceans, natural resources, and the environment. With advances in technology like LIDAR, FODAR, and satellite imagery, the field is rapidly expanding and changing from what traditional surveying used to be.
For me, I am also interested in returning for a master's in business or communications after a few years of work. My family has a small business, and I've been a part of it growing and changing, and I'm very interested in the working of business organizations in the forestry sector.
So then most of you will be joining the workforce within the next year or two. What are your thoughts towards industry and the profession?
I feel that we are approaching an exciting time in the forest industry. It will be interesting to follow advances in biomass, remote sensing, cross-laminated timber, and cut-to-length harvesting.
There are also challenges we face with many professionals reaching retirement age in the coming years, like I covered in my interviews with Woodham Chung and Carl Stanford. Workforce recruitment and retention must include safe working conditions, stable work, and competitive wages.
And I really liked the direction mechanized harvest is heading. We are taking more and more dangers associated with harvest out of our forests and creating jobs by implementing the use of these advanced types of machinery. That really impresses me.
I think there is an opportunity for industry to strengthen the value of the skills acquired through a forest engineering degree. For one, to do this is to place a higher value and incentive on becoming and hiring licensed forest engineers. This increases the accountability placed on companies and will subsequently result in a higher quality of future forest engineers. Tying into that, I think companies need to have a vision that moves away from short-term rewards and long-term consequences to balancing sustainability with forestry practices. Stream buffers, patchwork ownership, roadwork placement, so many things that licensed engineers of the future can control and move in a positive direction. The forestry profession is seeing a shift in the workforce where people are leaving, but not enough people are entering to support the industry. The profession has to recruit new people into workforce that incorporates high quality safety training with opportunities in the largely rural communities.
Before we close, I want to ask you guys what you think our generation can do to preserve a strong future for forestry and forest engineering so that it maintains its status as a healthy and sustainable part of economies around the world.
Well, Preston, I feel with the green living movement, we will see more education present itself in regards to more alternative wood options in building construction and fuels. Following progress that others have pioneered, I feel new forest management strategies will help facilitate future wood product demands. What I see is that people need to understand more about educated management in forests. By doing so, it could prove to have greater results and resource derived from them.
Along the lines of what Jesse says, there needs to be continued education for the public regarding forest management, beneficial practices, and wood-based consumer products. If the public does not buy into forest management, then it becomes significantly harder to practice forestry, at least in the United States. Forest certification could also be a way to ensure that sustainable and legally procured timber products reaches the consumers. It could also be a valuable route for forest companies where the pull of the national government is not as strong that ensures healthy, strong forest management. I would also advocate for economic rewards for using wood products in place of fossil fuels.
When thinking about the future of forest management and engineering, I believe that research and education are most important. Research can lead to innovations in machinery, processes, and management practices. With these innovations, follow greater utilization, lower dependence on fossil fuels, and more jobs. As Jessica stated, there are issues with companies seeing the dollar signs of today and neglecting to think of the ramifications their actions will cause for future generations to come. There needs to be reliable systems in place to deliver the findings of research to the general public globally and educate them about how forestry operations can be carried out in a sustainable manner while leaving the forest healthy and productive into perpetuity.
That concludes this episode of the IUFRO Division 3 podcast. Thank you, students, for sharing your experience about the National Convention and forestry in general. Once again, Ken Dryden, Jesse Holt, and Jessica Kessinger with me today from the Oregon State University College of Forestry. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Preston.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Preston.
For more information about this podcast, please visit the IUFRO website, www.iufro.org. IUFRO Division 3 podcasts are produced by myself and Woodham Chung with support from Faye and Lucille Stewart Endowment Funds at Oregon State University.